All right, so we're going to begin tonight, Chilek Beis. So we finished Chilek Aleph. We finished the first, actually it's a big, probably should make a siyum or something. We did finish the first Chilek. Now we're going to start the second Chilek over here. So Perek Aleph in the second Chilek. So if you're in this Aleph Beis unit, it's page Zion, but it's page Zion in the second half. If that made sense. Page Zion in the second half. So he says the following. So Vitzadik Bemunosu Yechya. Achein Atok Kel Mistata. Pesach Dvarenu Naktim Hakdama. So let's go ahead and let's begin over here. A little bit of an introduction. What's the introduction? Bechol Dovar Chodosh. Ubifrat Bemashno Geir Leberur Darche Avoda Sa'adam Esporo. Yesh Lehishtav Dala'asos Zos L'Shem Shemayim. So this is actually an incredible idea. You know, in everything we do, person should always try that everything they do should be l'shem shemayim. Everything they do should be for the sake of heaven. This is an incredible level in and of itself, to be able to reach the level where whatever a person does, his intentions, his kavanas, are for the Ribono Shel Olam. Nosim anu eifo, tefil lifnei Ribono Shel Olam, shedvarenu umaseinu eila yihiyu ritzuyim vitzuyas hadvar makol bakol mikol kol. So now that we're beginning this section on Emunah, we're beginning this section on what it means to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Mechaber puts in here a little bit of a tefillah, that Ribono Shel Olam, we should just realize that everything we're doing, everything we're learning, is for you. And hopefully, again, you will bless our endeavors with some level of success. Ki im lo, ein to'eles la'adavar sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino chafetz bo. Because ultimately, again, if Ribono Shel Olam does not desire it, then at the end of the day, it will not be successful. Did I not catch up to the wrong?
No, I don't know. I don't want to hold you up.
No, you're not holding me up. Yeah, he just skipped. They didn't translate that introduction.
Oh, okay.
So you're good. We're right about hadvar. Yeah, right. We're right about to start this paragraph. So here we go. We'll say hadvarim shabanu lomar him lechora pshutim. So we'll say the things that we're about to learn are lechora, meaning at first glance they're pashat, they're obvious. Now, if there's one thing we've learned, we've been learning this sefer, I don't know, how long have we been learning this sefer for? It's been going a while already, no? So, you know, the Mechaber begins every single section with that statement, right? It's going to be pashat. And the truth is, if you think about it, I don't think that there's any concept that we've learned that a person will say, oh, I never heard that before. Everything that we've learned, you've heard before. The applications are a little bit different, the formulations are a little bit different, but I don't think we've learned one new concept per se. So the Mechaber says over here, it's important to understand, what we're going to learn are simple things. Pshutim l'mi she'ene yodei osam, ki kachim nirim lo. So ultimately, they're pashut because they seem obvious. Ach la'amito shel davar, hari amru chazal, kama de pashut inish daite tfei ma'ale. But you also know that Chazal say, and this is actually very beautiful, the more pashat a person is, the simpler a person is, tfei ma'ali. The more halig, the holier, and the higher his standing is in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is an incredible yisod, and I think one could relate to this very much so as you get older. As you know, I have to tell you just an incredible, incredible maisa about this. I gave a shiur this morning, and after the shiur, a lady comes over to me, older lady, and she says to me, Rabbi Silber, I want to tell you how I give my tzedakah. She told me that she gets a lot of solicitations for tzedakah, a lot of stuff in the mail. She says, I try to give to everyone. She says, I'm 83 years old. I don't remember who I gave to anymore. So it's possible that I gave to this same organization last week. I said it's a good idea for a fundraiser for the shul. I was thinking about this, but so she said. She said, "Here's what I've done." She said, "I go ahead and I write out all the checks to all the organizations." She said, "I close my eyes and I." She says, "Ribono Shel Olam, just tell me what number to write in," and that's how she writes her tzedakah checks. So she said, don't, like, she said, these are 18 to 25, 36, 54, these are not, grand amounts of money. But that's how I write my tzedakah. That's the example, I finally make it, and you know, Mish, and oh, this, really? Really? So this is what the Mechaber is describing over here, that sometimes we think that Ribono Shel Olam does not want us to be complex. To be honest, I know this is going to sound strange. Hashem Baruch Hu doesn't need us to be great intellectuals and doesn't need us to be able to rattle off, you know, the Rishonim and Achronim and Asugya. Doesn't need us to know the Shaklevatari. Doesn't need us to know this part or that part or memorize or have knowledge of voluminous amounts of information. What He wants of us is to be Pashat. What He wants of us is to have simple emunah, emunah pshut, a simple belief in Him. What He wants of us is to have, you know, the best example of it is, the best example is, if you think about it, if a person is privileged to have a child, so, you know, when you go ahead and you connect with that baby, you know, you feel so connected to that child. And meanwhile, again, there's very little depth to that relationship, if you think about it. Right? Okay, it's true. The baby is my flesh. I mean, I created the baby. Well, I was a partner in the creation of the baby. But Lamaisa, there's like no give and take. There's no like, you know, we don't have deep discussions. You know, we don't have common interests, meaning it's a baby, you know. But yet again, every parent could attest to the profundity and the depth of that relationship. Why? Because it's pashat. Because it's simple. Because you see the baby, you smile. The baby, when it gets older, the note of smiles at you. And there's that simple, beautiful connection. It's, I love you. You love me. We can't really articulate much more than that. There's not much greater of an intellectual depth. But there's this incredible emotional connection. Says the Mechaber, what do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us? You think that He wants us to plumb the depths of philosophy and to try to figure out the secrets of the world? First of all, you're not going to. You're not going to figure out any secrets. Because that's why there's secrets. So they've been secrets in the beginning, there'll be secrets until the end. After 120, you figure out the secrets. What Hashem Baruch Hu wants of us is just to have a pashut love for Him. Just to look at Him. When I look at Him, however I see Him in the world, that I should smile. Because I love Him. And when He sees me, I hope that He smiles, because it's a simple love between a father and a child. That's the Gemara saying, Kama de Pashat Inish, Daite Tfei Male. The more Pashat you are, the more Pashat you are, the simpler you are in life, in your religiosity, in your relationship. That's what Chodesh Baruch Hu wants. He doesn't want the complexity. Ki asagas nekudas apshitus, hanekuda apshuta biyoser, hi ikar havoda sa'adam. Because Rabbi say the ability to be as pashut as possible, the ability ultimately again to go ahead and acquire this nekuda hap, what he calls this nekuda hapshuta, this ability to be simple. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Yeshna mashal yadua. So he quotes over here from a mashal of the Dubna Magid. So he doesn't go into the whole mashal. He says, if you skip down, he says, lo na'arich b'mashal, I'm sorry, ala pasuk, lo osi karasa Yaakov, Ki agata bi Yisrael. Now, literally, the way the pasuk is translated in Yeshaya, for lo osi karasa Yaakov, you have not called out to me, Yaakov. Ki agata bi Yisrael, for you have toiled in me, Yisrael. So, what does that mean? He says, lo na'arich b'mashal, rak naskir ikan akudah. Rabbi says, it's very beautiful. Kasher nira la'adam. Get ready for this. Shela avodas Hashem nidreshes yigiatzuma. Rabbi says, when a person feels that in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, it's an overwhelming task. Meaning, if a person says, you know what, of course I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's overwhelming. There's so much to do. It's yigia tzuma, so much exertion. If a person feels like that, ki hi bebechinas har gavoa, that I feel like serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like climbing Mount Everest. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get to the top. But it's an incredible amount of exertion. Ad ma'od l'tapes alavu la'agila madregos amitios. If I feel that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like climbing Mount Everest, I'm confident I could get to the top. But every step is a struggle. Kishuchash shematzavo. Who? Ki agata b'Yisrael. When you feel that the path to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yegia, it's a constant toil. Simon hu. Kilo karasa Yaakov. Yesh pekacho ra'a. Kilo zu'a derach ha'amitis lavor as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mechaber says something that is going to blow your mind. He says, if your avodas Hashem takes Herculean effort, if the service of God feels like climbing Mount Everest, I'm doing something wrong. Service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when done the right way, is beautiful, is pleasant, is meaningful. If it feels like rappelling up, can you rappel up or you just rappel down? Okay. Why am I asking you? You already know as much as I That's right. So if I feel that it's like scaling, I think that's it. If it's like scaling Mount Everest, then Lemaisa, again, there's something wrong. will say, this is an incredible yisod. Now, what does this mean? Does avodas Hashem require effort? Of course it requires effort. But you know, when you love something, so the effort doesn't feel like a yoke, right? So we'll say, you know, the paradigmatic example of this is that, you know, when Yaakov Avinu wants to marry Rachel Imenu, so again, he works for 11 7 years, and it turns out something amazing. Like, Yube Einov Ki Yamim Achadim. The days went by 7 years. 7 years is a lifetime, right? To get married. It's like, it's a street. But yet, again, for Yaakov Avinu, it was literally a labor of love. So went by quickly. The idea is that what is the nature of my avodas Hashem? Serving Kadosh Baruch Hu definitely takes effort, definitely takes work, but it shouldn't feel like scaling out. I will say it's the same yesod in a healthy marriage. So every person knows, every husband knows, that to build a healthy marriage requires an incredible amount of work. But again, if a person loves their wife, then a person says, you know what, this is worth it. This meaning, this effort is a wonderful investment. Yes, it's effort, but it doesn't feel like I'm climbing Mount Everest. I'm working. But when I say it's beautiful and it's wonderful, so it's an incredible yisod. If serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an exertion, then there's something wrong.
So why do they call it Olma
Hushimah? I'm sorry?
So why do they call it, why do they say Olma?
So all just means something that sits on me. It doesn't have to be something that weighs me down. There's a responsibility on my shoulders. Absolutely, I have responsibility, but I don't have to buckle under it. That's this, by the way, is such an incredible yisod. Meaning, it's almost like the litmus test for whether or not I'm engaged in true avodas Hashem is how does it feel? If it feels like I'm buckling under the load, if it feels overwhelming, if it feels like too much to handle, if it feels like, listen, of course I'm going to do it, because what's my alternative? I don't want to go to Gehenna. You know, so of course I'm going to do it, but every single day is scaling the mountain, the Mechaber said, when you get into it, there's a disconnect somewhere. There's a lot of work, yes, but a constant feeling of exertion, that is not how Avodas Hashem should feel. Incredible yisod. Hadvarim shenatzia kan, hem dvarim shebepicho bilvavcha lasoso, dvarim mechuvarim, mesudarim ubururim bo. So we'll say, what the Mechaber says over here is that we are going to begin, so we're going to try, remember again, the goal over here is to build emunah. That's the goal, right? So obviously emunah, when you speak about emunah, it's really undefined, often it's undefined and amorphous. What he says, we're going to try to define the ability or the process of acquiring emunah in clear and distinct steps. Turn the page. Ha'olam nikra milashon ha'olam. So also listen to this. The world is actually very interesting. The word olam, which means world, has a shoresh ultimately, again, thank you, of ha'olam. It's the same words. Hela means what Rabbi say? Hela means hidden. Hidden, thank you. He says, Humalim es amitas himatzo yisbarach. But say, the way the world works, and we're going to see this like push and pull, the nature of the world is that the world in and of itself obscures the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, so you understand this great anomaly. The world which was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu often obscures the very existence of God. What does this mean? Kodem shenivra olam, hayahu echad, ushmo echad. So ultimately, before the world was created, so remember again, the Ribono Shel Olam was one, his name was one. In other words, that before the world was created, all there was in the universe was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very obvious and apparent. Ukishenivra ha'olam, nivra ha'olam. He will say, when the world is created, the concept of Helam, the concept of God being hidden, is created as well. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu hafeich lebchinas kel mistater. And ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the identity of kel mistater, of a hidden God. V'avodas ha'adam b'chol yimei chayov, hein ba'am ha'adin v'hei ba'am da'asim, hi legalos es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, this is an incredible yisod. So this, you understand over here, what's unfolding. It's before the world is created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and existence is clear and obvious. When God creates the world, God's identity becomes obscured and hidden. Now, it doesn't make sense. If the world is the creation of God, so how does God become obscured and hidden with the creation of the world? Say, why? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu become hidden and obscured through the creation of the world? It's one word. Nature. Because Ribbono Shel Olam put into the world what appears to be self-sustaining mechanisms. We call them nature. So you can look at the world of Mosai, and again, plenty of people do, and they don't see God anywhere. Because the truth is, I could explain it rationally, scientifically, I could explain it a whole bunch of ways. That's by design. So God, who was the revealed creator, creates the world, becomes obscured, then what? And then, so what's the world all about? What's life all about, Rabbi Say? Life is all about discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So isn't that a beautiful idea? Life is all about discovering God. I'm sorry?
It's a big game of hide and seek.
It's a big game of hide and seek. Rabbi Shalom has intentionally hidden himself, and he asks for us to go ahead and come and find him. And I will say, this becomes the most incredible, incredible yisod. Life is about finding the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aval yeshna od nekuda samar. The Rebbe say, by the way, you understand, this becomes, you know, there's a beautiful maysa. There's a beautiful maysa that's told about Rav Levi. I think it's Rav Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev. It's told about that one time again, he was watching a group of children playing. And he was watching them, and then he saw there was a little girl who was crying. So he was a little middle, what's wrong? Why are you crying? So she said, you know, I was playing hide and go seek with my friends, and no one's trying to find me. So Rav Levi Yitzhak started to cry. He said, I finally understand how the Shechina feels, how the Ribbono Shel Olam feels. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's true, I'm hidden. Why isn't anyone trying to find me? That's life. Life is about uncovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, this goes back to what we learned earlier about finding God, recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, that Ribbono Shel Olam is present. Remember again our famous mashal of this year. Best mashal is, hands down, the pasta. Right? That even which bag of pasta you take, right, is hashkacha pratis. Ribbono Shel Olam is in everything. So I go into the supermarket, there's a shelf full of pasta. The box that I take, the Ribbono Shel Olam was involved in that decision. He's everywhere. I just have to find him. I just have to see him. I have to look for him. Aval yesh na'od nekuda salam. But I will say, there's another dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being hidden. Shikasha biyoser. That is even a bit more difficult. Adam maschil la'avod es HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol minei ofanim. Person begins to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all different ways. Limud Torah, kavana b'tfila v'chulei. So a person begins to learn. A person begins to have kavana. V'niska b'kashim. So we'll say, so what happens? So we know this, because all of us go through this. You begin to take upon something in yourself on learning. Or you say you want to daven with kavana. And then what happens? V'niska b'kashim. We'll say, what ends up happening? Inevitably, every single time you take on something in life, what happens? What happens? There's some kind of challenge. There's something, it's an amazing thing, right? You could go like clockwork, right? The moment you take something on, you could almost be assured something in life is going to come up. He says, Hayetzahara doig lahalim menu asadarach amitis ketzlavah tzchash baruch hu. Also, the Yetzahara works overtime to try to obscure the true and correct path that I could come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'acharei pam, so we'll say, see, here's what's interesting, and we've spoken about this before also, the Yetzahara, which of course again, I know I've said it many times, I'll say it again here, you know, we don't believe in, you know, the little guy in the red suit, you know, with the pitchfork and the tail that stands on my shoulder. That's not the Yetzahara. Like, Yetzahara is the internal self-sabotaging mechanisms that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed inside of us. They're innate to us. They're necessary because that the ability to overcome that self-sabotaging mechanism is in and of itself the very opportunity for growth. So what happens, Rabbi Osai? When I go in and I take something on and I want to grow, my self-sabotaging mechanisms come in, step in, and essentially what do? The Yitzhara can't get me to sin. Can't get us to sin. Why can't get us to sin? Because we're good. I don't want to commit an Avera. Okay, I have weaknesses, so sometimes I sin, but I don't want it. Meaning, objectively, I don't want it. So what does the Yitzhara do? The Yitzhara is a much more powerful tool. The Yitzhara says, makes me begin to believe that what I want to accomplish is impossible. That's the best strategy of the Yitzhara. Just get people to feel that their dreams are pipe dreams. Just get people to feel that they're being unrealistic in their expectations of themselves. And if you get people to stop believing in themselves, seeing there's no way you could ever accomplish this, then you know what? At some point in time, what happens? What happens?
You give up.
People stop trying. Rabbi said, this is Maisim B'chol Yom. Maisim B'chol Yom. You know how many people start the day, Rabbi said, thinking that, you know what? Today is going to be the day. Today is the day that I'm going to turn it around. Whatever the it is, my life, myself, my personality, my marriage, my children, whatever it is, today is the day. And Rabbi said, you know what happens? Usually like 3 to 4 minutes later, what happens? Another thought pops in. It goes something like this. Who the heck are you kidding? Do you know how many times you've said that? Do you know how many times you've said that? Do you know how many times you've woken up with the words, yeah, today is the day. I feel it. New slate, Tabula, so today is the day. And that little voice says, you fool, you faker, you hypocrite. You've said that 5 million times before. Cut it out already. Just get to it. Whatever you're going to mess up, whatever you're going to screw up, just do it now. Right? Get it out of the way. Right? Ruin someone. Ruin yourself. You know what's going to happen. Anyway, don't wait. Well, I say this happens every single day. So many people don't go ahead and try to actualize what they really want to. Not because of anything else, but it's because the Yitzhahara bests me. And look, what the Yitzhahara has often on his side is my track record of failure. Because I will say most of us, if we're honest, have a track record of failure in some area. Meaning most of us have been struggling with the same thing or things for sustained amounts of time. And usually, we repeatedly fail. Now, what we have to believe is, even if I've repeatedly failed, does not mean, what do they say that...
Past performance is not necessarily an indication of future results.
Future, oh, that's good. That's exactly it, right? So that's what I have to believe. But the Yitzhahara comes along and says, Come on. You've been living decades like this. You're not going to change. You know, you'll put a little extra in the pushka, right? You'll go ahead and you'll do something nice for someone or something, but you know you're not going to change. And I will say, that's what happens every single day. And then see, the scary part is, I will say, is that over time what could end up happening is you stop saying today is the day. You see, as long as I'm saying today is the day, even if that thought gets shot down 2 minutes later by the Yitzhara, I stand a fighting chance because at least I'm starting there by saying today is the day. But sometimes the Yitzhara could be so powerful, and sometimes it makes me feel like such a failure, and it obscures the path of change in such a dramatic way that I stop saying today is the day. And the moment you stop saying today is the day, then I'm going to turn around and say, Chaval al da'avdin, woe to what has been lost. The moment a person stops trying to find the path, change becomes but a distant dream. He goes on. He says, V'acharei pam pamayim v'shalosh hu niskal b'kashim. So ultimately, again, after a person fails once, twice, three times, machnis bo yitzharas ha-machshava, hakol nachon va'amiti, aval zohi avoda kasha. So we'll say at a certain point in time, a person begins to say that, but you know what? Maybe I'm not really capable of changing. I mean, I know I should, and I guess I know it's possible, but Lemaisa, it is so hard. It is so hard. Ani ishit. I'm a human being. Kashli this mode dimza. It's difficult for me to contend with this. Ulai yavo yom shulcha. Maybe the day will come. Now, also, maybe the day will come. You know, it's true. Everybody, you know, Alibi will get to the point where we're, you know, walking around with walkers with tennis balls on the bottom. So, you know, and then it'll be a little bit easier to combat the Yitzhara in those days. It's much easier to combat the Yitzhara with the walker. You're very limited in what you could actually do wrong. So, Lemaisa, the day will come when I could do it. And again, you know, the Rambam discusses that. The Rambam says, you know, whenever you do tshuva, it's meaningful. Obviously, it's more meaningful to do tshuva when you have your full vigor and vitality. But Lemaisa, all right, whenever you do it, but I can't do it now. Well, let's do one more paragraph. We'll stop over here. When a person tries to really recognize the truth, Megalim histaklus shona betaklus. So we'll say, when a person yearns to understand the truth, when a person yearns to really understand MS, he looks at the world in a different way. We'll say, one thing is clear. My relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to happen by itself. Avodas Hashem takes work. Bekalikalos. What the Yitzhahara wants me to believe is that what I want out of life is so difficult. I'm not going to say it's impossible. It's just very difficult. And I both say, what a person has to believe is, you're right, dramatic change and dramatic life improvement won't happen by itself. but it's not climbing Mount Everest. It's not as difficult as the Yitzhahara tries to make it seem. There's effort, there's exertion, there's forward momentum and backsliding, but it's not something so complicated. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for tonight. But the Mechaber is really introducing to us, I think, is an incredible yisod. Because I think we often have conflicting motifs, even in Yiddishkeit. Meaning, is becoming a good Jew a hard avoda or not? The Mechaber posits, you have to believe that although there is effort, it's not a Herculean task. It's not a Herculean task. Not only is it not impossible, it goes without saying that it's not impossible, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. There's effort, there's work, but it's not difficult. Because the moment that you begin to say, it's difficult, it's so hard, it's the yoke, is the moment that ultimately Yemi Yitzhara sets in and then says, okay, you just admit it, it's difficult, it's hard, don't even try. Because you know, just like you can't climb Mount Everest, you're not going to be successful in this either. So our first step in establishing a true emunah. And when we talk about emunah, we're talking about the ability to believe in oneself, the ability to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ability to create a beautiful relationship, is to believe that it's attainable. Yes, it takes effort, but no, it is not an overwhelming avodah. All right, cool. So we'll stop over here. Yeah.
So 69 days we'll convene again, or?